Happy birthday to you.
4 years of programming right here on Radio Free School.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
We've been doing it for more than half your life.
Really?
Because you're seven.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you've really grown up as a Radio Free Schooler, really.
Yeah.
Don't
I love it.
You love it?
I think you should keep on going.
Really? You don't want to stop?
Yeah.
Don't get bored of it?
Yeah. I'm not bored of it.
Roald Dahl's Revolting Rhymes. Oh, illustrations by Quentin Blake. Read by Evelina and Madeline Kay.
Jack and the Beanstalk. Jack's mother said, "We're stony broke. Go out and find some wealthy bloke. He'll buy a cow. Just say she's sound and worth at least £100. But don't you dare to let him know that she's as old as Billy O." Jack led the old brown cow away and came back later in the day and said, "Oh, Mumsy dear, guess what your clever little boy has got? I really don't know how, a super trading for a cow." The mother said, "You little creep, I'll bet you sold her much too cheap." When Jack produced "When Lousy Bean," his startled mother, turning green, leaped high up in the air and cried, "I'm absolutely stupefied, you crazy boy. Do you really mean you sold our daisy for a bean?" She snatched the bean, she yelled, "You chump!" and flung it on the rubbish dump. Then, summoning up all her power, she beat the boy for half an hour, using, and nothing could be meaner, the handle of a vacuum cleaner. At 10 p.m. or thereabout, the little bean began to sprout. By morning it had grown so tall, you couldn't see the top at all. Young Jack cried, "Mom, admit it now. It's better than a rotten cow." The mother said, "You lunatic. Where are the beans that I can pick? There's not one bean. It's bare as bare." "No, no," cried Jack. "You look up there. Look very high and you'll behold each single leaf is solid gold."
Do you want to keep doing the show, Emma?
Yeah, I guess.
Should we just call it quits?
No.
No, not quits for that.
Not yet. Maybe 5 years from now.
Okay.
No, maybe.
You know what I was hoping?
15 years.
I'll carry it.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I want. By the time you guys are older, I want you to do the show yourself.
I will.
I'm gone.
Well, you'll do it, but you'll be a lone parent doing
that.
No,
actually, Mam's a teacher.
Well, I don't really want to.
It could be completely children's, everything by yourself.
Yeah, but we won't be kids by then.
We'll be teenagers. All you'll have to do is just, like, you know, you guys will be able to produce a show yourself.
Completely. Well, you still have to help.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm an old lady, I'll pass it on to my kids. Pass it on.
That's a torture. What's your favourite show that you did this year? Ever?
I don't know. I don't know which show we did in which year. I think my favorite show we ever did was
We did
Cave-In.
Already.
Well, my favorite show was Sharon.
Okay. My favorite show was Sharon, Cave-In a few years ago, but Cave-In is my favorite and always will be, I guess.
Man?
Cave-In.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't Gordon Corman your favorite show, too?
Yeah, that, too. Can kind of together, because that one was an adventure one, but then I got to interview Gordon Corman, so those ones are kind of equal. So that's one of my very favorite of the year, and it's one of my very favorite shows, so those two are my favorites, really.
Okay.
I mean, the museum one was all right, but...
What museum one?
When we went to the ROM.
Paleontologist.
Yeah, but we didn't get too much hands-on.
Yeah.
Which trilogy did you like first? Island, Dive, or Everest?
Okay, Island was first. That was a big change for me because, you know, most of my books before that were funny. And to sort of switch over to adventure, suspense, after, you know, really writing funny books for decades, it was a tough change to make.
Was Everest second? Because I pretty much guessed that.
Island was first, Everest was second, Dive was third, and then the On the Run series, which is six books, came after that.
I haven't read On the Run yet, but I'm probably better get them out.
Okay, cool.
I really like the books, though.
Oh, okay, great. No, it's nice to hear. It's sort of funny for me because, you know, when I travel now, I mean, McDonald Hall is so long ago, and you know, the adventure writing is pretty recent, so I'll hear kids say things like, you know, why'd you stop writing Everest and start writing McDonald Hall? You know, when really, I mean, McDonald Hall was almost like my summer job when I was in middle school and high school.
Hi. Today we went to visit this man that studies poo. We got to hold it, and it was all white, crumbly.
Like 30,000 year old.
Mommy, come on, Tanya. It was really hot in there.
Mm-hmm. That's why in his office. I like the one on that we did on string theory, parallel universes, and that one was
fun. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I don't even remember it very well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember half the shows, half of them I haven't listened to, more than half. I've listened to like three or four of them.
But what is a parallel universe?
So it depends. There's several different notions of what you could mean by a parallel universe, and they've all been used in science fiction. And they're all, you know, there's an element of truth to all of them. So one of them would be... Imagine that the universe was a piece of paper, and so that instead of being, you know, this is two dimensions because you've got one direction that way, one direction that way, but if you imagine that this was really all of the four dimensions we see, the three space dimensions and time, then you could imagine that maybe it was bent over like that, and so that we could be living in this piece of paper here, and there could be another piece of paper near us, which we're not living on, but which is near us. And so it would be parallel in that really literal sense, that it's really... things that are near us, but not... To get there, we'd have to go a long ways around this piece of paper, but there'd be no physical way of getting across from here to here.
The shape of the universe, like, we heard that it might be flat. Is that true? Is that something...
Yeah, no, that's... The reason that you can talk about it is that Einstein's theory of gravity says that what gravity is it's the shape of the universe changing in response to the mass that's inside of it, and then when you fall, you're just moving... the way that you have to move given that space and time are curved in the way that Einstein tells you they have to be curved. And so that means that if you knew where everything was in the whole universe, and since Einstein tells you how the geometry of the universe responds to what's in it, you could figure out what the overall geometry of the universe is. And so you could ask, is it a sphere or is it a flat or what is it? Does it have handles? You know, maybe it's like this, it's bent over, and maybe it's a complete circle. Maybe if you go around one direction, you come back in the other side again. It's possible that it could be any of those things, but what's known observationally is that... if you looked at space at a given time, as opposed to space and time together, it seems to be flat.
I also thought about doing a radio show on mothers who work from the home, homeschooling. So I thought that would be really interesting to just get that input on how the different ideas that are out there. You know, there's money. Money's a big issue. People are always talking about, you know, how they need more money, especially if you're homeschooling and you're on a single income there. Sometimes it makes it really difficult, and it'd be nice to either support your family or at least partially support your family. So we're going to do a show on that.
They offered me the office, offered me the job. They said I'd better take anything they got. Do you want to make tea at the BBC? Do you want to be? Do you really want to be a cop? Opportunity, the one that never knocked. Every job I offer used to keep you up the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never knocked. I hate the Army and I hate the RAF.
but do that either one or never knock. Every job they offer used to kick you off the dock. Career opportunity, the one and never knock. Every job they offer used to kick you out the door. Career opportunity, the world that never knocked.
Radio Free School, a show by, for, and about home learners.
Bron, what are some of your favourite shows that you've done then?
On animals, poo. What else did
we do? Oh, we've done a lot. We've done a lot, I don't know.
Hey, how about we do one on fish?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually should. We should go down to the fish ways.
And spiders too. Yeah. Bowers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to that trees. Candy factory and interview those people about bubblegum. Then that'll probably become my favorite one. Hopefully they'll give us some bubblegum for us to eat.
Mm-hmm. Another show that would be really interesting to do would be one on, you know, home remedies. Home remedies for different ailments. So what do you use when you have a headache? How about you, Madeline? So you said one of your favourite ones was horses?
Interview me and have some horse Mummy, how about we do one?
We did one on pottery.
What about one on art?
Yeah, we could do one more on art.
How about shoes?
We can have one about the making of shoes.
We could.
How about on snakes?
Foxes.
Everything.
Madeline, remember when you were little and you thought we'd run out of ideas?
There's always something.
A show about sound?
Yes, a show about sound.
But how, what kind of sounds? Just like musical sounds?
No, sound. How do we hear things?
Like this.
How do we talk? Yeah, then we can have for a song we'll make.
How do we make sound?
For a song we'll, yeah. And then for a song we could have we'll have a slamming of a door, a scream. A groan, a moan, all these noises. Yeah, there'll be different noises, and then it'll just be, we'll put the deer, boom, boom.
What's happened with the crazy show?
Oh, yeah. We never replace. We'll have the crazy song for the crazy show.
It's in my
pasta. I'm eating it.
That's my new expression. It's in my pasta. It's all tangled up in your pasta.
Yeah, we could do a few more. We could definitely do a few more crazy shows. Expressions.
See?
Ain't it great to be crazy? Boom, boom. Ain't it great to be crazy? Giddy and foolish all day long. Boom, boom. Ain't it great to be crazy? A horse and a flea and three blind mice sat on a curbstone shooting dice. The horse, he slipped and fell on the flea. Whoops, said the flea, there's a horse on me. Boom, boom. Ain't it great to be crazy? Boom, boom. Ain't it great to be crazy? Giddy and foolish all day long. Boom, boom. Ain't it great to be crazy?
How do you like school, Billy? Close.
When I was a kid, I found a robin's egg and hid it on a timber in an old abandoned shack that was sitting in a field full of raspberry bushes with a crab apple tree around the back. and a stream going by at the bottom of a hill with a rock in the middle. And if you sat still, you could see the minnows swim, and from an overhanging limb, you could listen to the heat bug trill. And early every day, all of my friends and I would play, digging holes and finding gold among the rocks, and looking for salamanders and eating all the berries and rolling down the hill in a box. Until one day they came with their machinery and dozed down the shack and hacked up the greenery and stuffed the stream in a concrete pipe and leveled the hill away. And then they built a couple of mounds to make it look round and brought in loads of sod and planted a row of trees that came up to our knees. Without a speck of shade, it looked so odd. And there were no more dragonflies and no crayfishing. And they called it a parkette after a politician and put up a sign saying no ball playing. And nobody ever went there anymore.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
The ideas are pouring out, right, from you guys.
We never did do the what are you doing thing.
Yeah, that's one. Oh, and funny, today we actually saw this one guy who was fixing the telephone poles. We kind of stuck our heads down like he had this metal bar around us. He's right down in the tunnel and Eva was really interested. She liked to join him down there.
Mm-hmm. You could drill underground.
Madden, you were saying you wanted to take the video camera and be reporters, right?
Yeah.
We haven't been doing much of that.
We get a good quality mic each, and then we go around to them and we interview people sometimes. I record around a mic, and so just sometimes we go around and interview people.
Yeah. But actually, I was going to say that some of the challenges of producing this show is like not having reliable equipment. That's something that's really, Whoa. Really bugging me. Like, unreliable equipment. So we're doing phone interviews or we're doing just live interviews. And the stuff is, you know, faulty. We're not sure if it's going to work. That's something that's really kind of stressing.
Yeah, the Gordon Corman show took a while to get
Send
on.
Send money.
Yeah.
For good equipment. But another thing we could do more in the show is we haven't done much book reviews or movie reviews.
Book reviews. Mm-hmm. How about we do one video camera?
Movie reviews.
How about we do a show on video cameras? No. I'm holding one right now.
Mm-hmm. And the last one we did was Superman, right?
Yeah. That was the last one we did, but we could definitely review.
That was good.
Did we ever review Chicken Run?
I think so.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Roll call! Come along now, you'll be late for parade! Rip, rip! Rip, car! Come on, smarten up. Discipline, order. I'm back in my RAF gate when the senior officer called for a script.
Let's interview Harry Potter. The actor of Harry Potter is like the
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, I'm
Happy
so
birthday, cool. Radio Free School.
With the famous
mommy.
Movie review.
Superman.
Mm-hmm.
What year is it?
1950-something.
I like Superman.
He rescues people. He's cool. Daddy brought the CDs and we liked them a lot.
So Daddy brought them into the house?
Yep.
Yeah.
And we love them. All we watch now is Superman.
I thought it was interesting. I saw it on the internet that they had the first season of Superman on DVD. So I got it from the library. Because I used to like fly around my house when I was a kid with my towel pinned around my neck. My mom would pin the towel for me and I would go zooming around. And I just, you know, I was sort of fascinated to see with my adult eyes what fascinated me so much when I was a kid. So I thought, you know, like having seen some of the episodes, I don't remember most of them at all. Maybe I didn't even see those ones before, but there's a certain charm to the Superman character. I don't know what it is. It's sort of innocent in a weird way, even though there's stuff I would critique, you know, truth, justice, and the American way is sort of a Weird statement,
right? And the American way.
How does it go, Mother?
So continuing along this vein of celebrating Radio Free School's past shows, 4 years of programming right here on Radio Free School. We're just going to keep playing some excerpts from shows. We've had some really, really amazing people on the show. We've had Pat Ferranger, we've had Wendy Presence, Grace Llewellyn, John Taylor Gatto.
I never want to hear the word school for the rest of my life or see a school building. But I have taken a much darker tack, or it imposed itself on me. The more I understood the historical currents that were at work in creating this institution, the more I saw that it doesn't lead to the kind of world that I personally want to live in, that it definitely has a distinct purpose, and that purpose has been successfully achieved. And because of our schooling and the schooling in Britain and in Germany, our form of schooling has spread worldwide. So we now have a well-schooled planet. As I gaze out after 70 years of life, I'm not at all pleased with the planet, let alone with schooling. So now we have three traditional purposes of schooling: to make good people, the religious purpose; to make good citizens, the public purpose; and to make people their personal best, the private purpose. Sometime around the middle of the 19th century, a fourth purpose arose, but it was outside the consciousness of ordinary citizens. And that was with the rise of fossil fuels. Remember that prior to the 19th century, for all practical purposes, your sources of energy other than human labor are wind and water and wood, and they're very, very unreliable. You know, they come and they go. And when the wood's gone, it doesn't come back for a long time. So most organized factory work was near some source of water or wind, or it relied on labor. So none of the institutional production mechanisms were very effective. They didn't dominate the life of the community. But with the development of coal and steam power, and then about a half century later, the development of oil, suddenly for the first time in human history, in the 19th century, managers, economic managers, had the ability to predict the future. They could work around the clock. They could make pretty accurate guesses about how many units they could produce in that time, and a need arose to concentrate people in urban centers for that purpose, to make them the assistants of coal and steam and oil. So with that understanding on the part of, let me call them society's managers, not just the rich, but people who devoted their intelligence and their attention to working out arrangements to multiply wealth. And so at that point, human beings ceased to be what they had been for all of human history. And they became, pure and simply, productive units, or less productive units, or unproductive units.
Swallow. We're dumb in death. then don't get up again. Yo, I'm a silly ass bitch.
Come on, W, man. We can talk about this.
Oh, come on. I'm a girl, and I'll still kick your ass.
Radio Free School. A show by, for, and about home learners.
So for 4 years we've been on the air. I think that each year I could say we get better and better. It's an opportunity to expose children to all kinds of amazing, amazing people, passionate people in the fields of their own interest. Let's just say it's broadened their minds so much. The exposure that they get by doing this show is just phenomenal. Oh, we've talked to all kinds of people. Writers, people and scientists, musicians, artists, tradespeople. It's a gift. Actually, doing this show is a gift. It's a lot of work. Randy says it's like being in front of a train with your pants down every week, trying to stop a train. It's intense because it's a weekly show. But I think the benefits far outweigh any kind of challenge that we've faced. And the input we get from people, we really appreciate that too. So if people want to drop us a line, call us up, tell us what they enjoy about it, what they don't enjoy about it, and we would appreciate that.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L 8S1CO.